Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, Deliverance of the Amala Arjuna Trees, Text Number 8. Shri Naruvacha Na Yanyo Jushito Jushyan Joshyan Puri Brahmsho Raja Gunaha Shrimadad Abhijat Yadir Yatrasri Dutam Ash Savaha Shri Naruvacha. Narada Muni said, Na, there is not. He, indeed. Anya, another material enjoyment. Jushitaha, of one who is enjoying. Joshan, things very attractive in the material world. Different varieties of eating, sleeping, mating, and defense. Buddhi Brahmashaha. Such enjoyments attract the intelligence. Rajaguna, being controlled by the mode of passion. Shrimadat, then riches. Abhijatya adi, among the four material principles. Attractive bodily features, birth in an aristocratic family, being learned and being very rich. Yatra, therein, wherein? Stri, women, dutam, gambling, asavaha, Wine, women, and gambling are very prominent. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Narada Muni said, among all the attractions of material enjoyment, the attraction of riches bewilders one's intelligence more than having beautiful bodily features, taking birth in an aristocratic family, and being learned. When one is uneducated by falsely puffed up by wealth, the result is that one engages his wealth in enjoying wine, women, and gambling. Report. Among the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, ignorance, people are certainly conducted by the lower qualities, namely passion, ignorance, especially by passion. Conducted by the mode of passion, one becomes more and more involved in material existence. Therefore, human life is meant for subduing the modes of passion, ignorance, and advancing the mode of goodness. Tadarajastamo bhava kama lova deyaschaye chete tera navidam sitam sadve prasidati. This is culture. One must subdue the modes of passion and ignorance. In the mode of passion, when one is falsely proud of wealth, one engages in his wealth only for three things, namely wine, women, and gambling. We can actually see, especially in this age, that those who have unnecessary riches simply try to enjoy these three things. In Western civilization, these three things are very prominent because of an unnecessary increase of wealth. Narada Muni considered all this in the case of Mani Griva, Anala Kulvara, because he found them in so much pride in the wealth of their father Kulvara. Narada Muni said, among all the attractions of material enjoyment, the attraction of riches bewilders one's intelligence more than having beautiful bodily features. Taking birth in an aristocratic family and being learned, when one is uneducated but falsely puffed up by wealth, the result is that one engages his wealth in enjoying wine, women, and gambling. The question is, what is wealth? When Pariksit Maharaj was confronting the earth planet, then the earth planet mentions that wealth comes actually from the earth. That even in modern society, where they're considering wealth, they consider it in terms of accumulation of products coming from the earth, like cars coming from the earth, the metals, or jewelry, or buildings, whatever. So they judge wealth by that. Of course, now they've concocted this idea of wealth is just digital, imaginary. But you can't do anything with digital wealth unless you can buy something with it coming from the earth. Even the air that we're breathing, unless the earth circulated it, especially through the plants, we couldn't do it, the air wouldn't be suitable even for us to breathe. That the food we get comes from the earth, and the earth includes the water that's flowing through the rivers, and by the arrangements that these things are purified somehow or another through the earth, we can get drinkable water. Although their modern civilization has done a lot to contaminate it. The clothes we have, the food we eat, the houses we live in, they're all dependent upon the earth. Therefore, when Krishna saw that the residents of Vrindavan were going to worship Indra, he said that there's no sense of worshiping Indra, we should worship Govardhan. Because Govardhan provides all the necessary ingredients for the welfare of the cows and the cowherd men. The cows, it provides the nice grass for the Krishna's pastimes, it provides the caves and the fruits and flowers and other things Govardhan all provides. Unfortunately, modern civilization, because the people's devoid of God consciousness, therefore they've concocted idea that everything comes out of nothing, and that therefore no one, nothing, everything belongs to no one. It's everything's up for grab. Unaware that there's a law of material nature that means that one is punished when one tries to steal, and the punishment is illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. That's the punishment. One may think that these are enjoyable. Actually, they may temporarily relieve one from suffering, but they're actually punishments. Because, Krishna says, they're born out of lust and may be transformed into greed and anger. But, after all, lust, Krishna says, Aritam gyan etain oadumena riyate vanir yatardo shobulena cha itobin avrita garvas tatatenetam avritam. Just like the mirror is covered by dust, or the embryo is covered by the womb, or the fire is covered by smoke, so living entity is covered by different degrees of lust. So it's lust that covers our consciousness, and therefore it doesn't allow us to see things properly. It doesn't allow us to experience our spiritual nature. So that's certainly a punishment. If you're put into a prison and confined within the prison for an unlimited amount of time, you can't say it's happiness. I chose to be in prison and be tortured by the people, by the guards in the prison to make me happy. One may decorate the prison cell and put paintings on it and whatever, listen to rock music. But when the prison guards are beating one, you can't say it's happiness. Although you may have nice paintings on the wall while they're beating you, it's not going to help you very much. Similarly, Aritam gyane etena gyane no nityavarina kamarupena kondiya dusprena analena cha. Thus, a man's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. So, to become happy, it's not a good idea to enter into a blazing fire and have your body be burnt out. Similarly, the anxiety that people are feeling in the material world, including the fear, is all arising out of their desire to become the lords, the controllers of the material nature, and to enjoy the material nature, specifically through this eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, which manifests itself as illicit sex, meat-eating, gambling, and intoxication. But people don't know that. They don't know that freedom and happiness and peace and prosperity come from Krishna. And then in the absence of Krishna, they're taking insignificant things as the goal of life. Because they're misled. They've accepted blind leaders, people who are blind to their own interests and for everyone's interests, as their leaders, and therefore the leaders are going to the darkest regions of existence, and of course the followers are going with them. So we have to be careful who we choose as a leader, because we've already chosen in the past too many other leaders other than Krishna who are presently misleading us, either consciously or unconsciously. And the main thing is that we think wealth, whatever wealth we have, is meant for sense enjoyment. So that's the main being misled. We may not have a lot of wealth, but whatever wealth we have, if we don't utilize it properly, then it becomes the cause of our entanglement in being directed towards eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Krishna bahir mukha bhogavanchitare nikatista tare japiti dare. That as soon as we turn our face away from Krishna and try to enjoy with whatever resources we have, then Maya slaps us down. Now people don't know that, and therefore they've been misled into thinking that the reason why they're suffering is the lack of sense gratification, rather than too much of it, unrestricted. And because they accept these as authorities, therefore they get misled. Just like the authorities that were telling people, the so-called medical authorities, were telling people previously that smoking cigarettes is good for your health. And on the television commercials, they used to be advertisements with doctors in white coats smoking cigarettes and telling how this will cure your asthma and other respiratory diseases. And therefore they addicted hundreds of millions of people around the world to smoking. And of course the medical industry made lots of money through treating lung cancer, asthma, and all kinds of other respiratory diseases. So, as far as they're concerned, it was a good advertisement. It just so happens when majority of people become aware, then they have to change things slightly. Well, slightly means that they just change the narrative so that they introduce something else, some other poison, and convince people that you should take this poison because it's good for your health. Take this deadly shot because it's good for your health, and if you die it's because you didn't take enough shots. Even people take the shot and they get violently sick immediately, they say, well, it's a good sign. It means that the shot is working. Even one man said that his daughter died shortly after taking the shot. Then he said, that's very good, because otherwise she might have died from the disease. So people are so, their intelligence has been lost because they're sinful, and therefore they can be misled by so-called leaders or is it said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Svavid Varahos Prakarar, Samstuta Purusha Pashu, Svavid Varahos Prakarar, Samstuta Purusha Pashu, Niyat Karma Patiyo Peto, Jati Namagadagraja. The men who are like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses, they glorify the big harmon, bigger dogs, camels, horses. No. Dogs, the word is Svavid, that's pigs. Svavid, those who eat stool. Svavid, Varahostra, Karai. So the hogs, dogs, camels, and asses, the little ones glorify the bigger hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. But they never glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, the real problem we have that disconnects us from everything, including the very earth and wealth, real wealth, is this attitude that this we're here to enjoy this material world somehow or another. And in order to do that, we have to control it. We have to become independent authorities and controllers of the material nature. And therefore we become bewildered and we accept the wrong leaders who are encouraging us to become independent enjoyers and controllers, and we wind up creating havoc for our own lives and for everyone else's lives. And you go to the psychiatrist and it says you're just not having enough illicit sex. You're not taking enough poison, that's why you're not healthy. And when you get sick, then they give you more poison. And if you complain, they take you to a psychiatrist. They put you in a psychiatric clinic. A person doesn't understand who to accept as an authority. The complaining against the authorities. You must be crazy. Therefore, one has to utilize one's intelligence in order to see that material nature, it didn't come out of nothing. Material resources here, the wealth, should not be engaged in sinful activity, in imitating Krishna, imitating the actual enjoyer and the controller, but it should be utilized in his service. Otherwise, one will certainly be bewildered and think that those who have more wealth are misusing God's energy more, that they're in a better position than we are. But actually they're in a much worse position. For instance, if one has so much wealth and he doesn't know there's a supreme person and doesn't offer his food to Krishna, then every mouthful he's eating is simply entangling himself in sinful reactions. And trying to enjoy sex life, unrestricted sex life, is compared to the camel who eats thorns and cuts his tongue and he drinks his own blood and he thinks he's enjoying. So if you had a Sunday feast and they took your blood out and served it for your as the beverage for the Sunday feast, would you think it was a very good Sunday feast? Maybe Dracula would appreciate it. Other people's blood, not his own blood though. So that's what the camel is compared to. And as far as eating stool, eating everything is like the hog. Does anyone want to become a hog and just have the ability to eat anything and everything? Is that very enjoyable? Or do we want to eat nice prasadam? So similarly we can go over Svavid Rahostra Karar Samstuta Purusha Pashu. The men who are like hogs, dogs. Dog is an animal greatly appreciated by modern society because it's the one animal that's usually submissive as long as you feed it. He's man's best friend. He licks his behind because he doesn't have toilet paper. So that's how he cleans himself. Net of love, he comes and gives you his remnants. He licks you also. Actually, in India, the dog licks your face to find out if you're alive. If you don't move, then he'll bite your nose off. Not out of love, the dog is licking your face. But people have imagined these things because they've lost their intelligence. Dog full of fleas. All kinds of diseases. And usually not a vegetarian. But he's become man's best friend. God spelled dog backwards as dog in English. So instead of God being the best friend, dog has become the best friend. Therefore, one should try to appreciate how Krishna has given the earth to be utilized, earth in its different forms, to be utilized in Krishna's service, to liberate us, to take prasadam, build temples for Krishna, build our buildings for Krishna, to glorify Krishna, communicate about Krishna, about festivals for Krishna, glorify Krishna's activities in different forms, worship the deities, the forms of Krishna from the earth and the forms of the deities, take nice prasadam offered to the deities in the form of earth, drink purified water, offer that to the deities, offer to the deities, so we can taste Krishna in the water. Then the air we breathe will actually have some use. It gives us energy, and the earth below us will actually empower us. Otherwise, we're just blocked by all our senses, our mind, all the channels in the body. They're all blocked by material desire and greed and lust and anger. Lust, when our channels are open, then we become lusty to enjoy. And then from there comes greed, unrestricted enjoyment. And then out of fear, all the channels become completely blocked out of fear and anger. And the result is we live in a life of anxiety and fear. And it's all because of our misuse of Krishna's energies. Instead of utilizing it out of love for Krishna, we utilize it out of lust, being demanded by our senses. And the main thing is we've chosen the wrong people as our leaders. So we should choose people as our leaders who can help us advance in devotional service, at least come to a higher consciousness. Otherwise, these passionate demons, the people that are following, they can only lead people to the darkest regions of existence. And anyone with half a brain can understand that. The only problem is that people have a half a brain. They don't have full enough brain to understand what's the solution. And it's not to protest that we're not enjoying as much as the demons are. The real thing is to utilize things in Krishna's service, and then we'll become free. Our intelligence will become free, understand what the actual solution to our problems of life is. Not to change the world, which we can't do anyhow, but to change our consciousness. That's the only thing we actually have influence over, our own consciousness, where we want to put it. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or any questions, comments? Or as they say, be the change you want to see in others. Someone would like to make a comment? Say, what have you understood, Lili Tikovinda Pro? Give the microphone to Lili Tikovinda. What have you understood from the verse?
So, we are lost. So, I have a question, actually. How to, in this situation, move or higher our consciousness to actually see first these things, what is going on, and second, that we are experience this higher spiritual reality. So with chanting and reading a lot and all these things, so because we are here and our consciousness, our mind can be somewhere else. So please explain a bit.
What do you think is the solution? What would you tell someone?
I will suggest to read, and associate with those devotees and speak about Krishna and his qualities, his name, his pastimes, all these things for us. Because it's no other solution.
Okay, good. And what would be your solution, Mukunda? Prabhu.
Yeah, I was just thinking when he was saying, you know, we have to associate with devotees, and you know, in a good way, you know, that would be the most important.
How do we know if we're associating with the devotees in a good way? What would be one of the symptoms?
If we are serving them and if we are happy.
How do we? Happy in what way?
Well, in a spiritual way.
Okay. I'm looking for... who else would like to say something? Okay. Prajasundari Radha.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, for a nice lecture. Yeah, we have to be careful who we choose for our leader, because we are covered and we don't see everything as it is. So we have to seek our company, our association with bhaktas who help us to advance in our consciousness. But I have a question. Sometimes we are so covered, and for example, we are in situation, we associate with older bhaktas, and they are saying us things that we are not sure if they help us, if this will help us in advance. What to do? Do you have advice what to do when we are not sure that this helps us to advance?
First thing to do is listen, and if we don't understand, then we inquire submissively. And if we don't still understand, then humbly we investigate in the scripture, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, until it becomes clear. And when everything becomes clear, then we can act with enthusiasm. But until it's clear, then we don't do anything. Blind, as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, the commentary 434, blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiry. So we have to perform devotional service, which we're sure of, until we become clearer, whatever their suggestion might be, whether to accept it or reject it or modify it, whatever. But unless we're clear, we shouldn't do anything. Unless it's clear what Krishna wants us to do, we shouldn't do something we're not so sure of, whether Krishna wants us to do it or not. So we can pray, we can study the books, we can inquire from others, we can... And then when everything's come, and we can do service, do what will be necessary to purify ourselves, to get the intelligence, understand. And then when everything's clear, then we can act properly. Anything else? What's the first sense we have to engage? The tongue, yes. So, every day we have an opportunity to engage the tongue. We sit down for prasadam, we can try to engage the tongue in relishing Krishna, honoring and relishing Krishna prasadam, remembering how Krishna has given to us. Recite the prayer nicely, understand what the prayer is, and try to honor prasadam. And then we can talk about, we can chant Hare Krishna and tell others things that will help them and help ourselves chant offenseless rounds of Hare Krishna, offenselessly associate with Krishna in pure devotion, and tell others, make the subject of our conversation, how we and others can do that too. Then our lives will become meaningful. Or even how to take prasadam, honor prasadam, how to perform devotional service to honor Krishna, Radha and Krishna and their associates. All right. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.